Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Occasional Barista. My name is Chris, and today we're going to be covering the topic of what baristas might be thinking about your drink order. And the reason why we're going to talk about this today is because when I've had multiple discussions now about people's pass into coffee, and specifically getting into specialty coffee, if people are naturally introverted or might have some intimidation when it comes to going into like specialty coffee shops, whatever the reasons may be, I know at least one, you know, specific thing that gets brought up a lot is, you know, some self-consciousness or a little uneasiness about their drink order. And it's something really small, but even I told my little anecdote about my own personal story getting a specialty coffee. I sat there and I looked up, what drink do baristas order when they go to other coffee shops? Now, again, that's coming from somebody who really romanticized about coffee, but, you know, it was one of those things that now looking back on it, I think it's so silly because I don't know any of my baristas or friends of mine who are baristas that really order a cappuccino, which they said cappuccino is what they ordered. So it was one of those things that I just wanted to clear the air and really, you know, help people who might feel intimidated to realize, you know, chances are if we're really slammed or we're really busy, the last thing we're thinking about really is what you ordered, like, and what that means about you. I mean, obviously we're like, all right, let's just get these orders done. Let's get it to the best of our abilities. Let's crush out this like rush that just walked through that door. And we can, you know, talk about you later. No. We honestly, again, we're just trying to survive the rush, really. But I do want to talk about this just because, again, trying to give people, like legitimately from people from behind the bar, this is what we're actually thinking about. Now, if times are slow, this is also some of the things we might be thinking about when you order and how you go about ordering. So to kind of start off, I think one of the biggest things is people, even my girlfriend, for example, she was afraid to go to the shop I used to work at and order a pumpkin spice latte because they're making, they're making now house-made, but we were, even when I was there, making house-made pumpkin spice lattes. And that just means the actual sauce that we put in, we make it in-house, it's our own, we don't buy from some other provider. And I was telling her, you know what, you really shouldn't worry. A, you know all the baristas behind the bar and they're our friends, so trust me, they're not going to think twice about it, but don't feel any, like, you know, intimidation or feel, like, embarrassed about ordering it. It's a drink we have on the menu. Like anything else, it's right up there too with an espresso. So, and again, it's just seasonality. And honestly, we're quite proud of our pumpkin spice latte and how we go about it because we want to put forth and we put the effort in making a, you know, syrup or like more, it's more like a sauce that we put in that is actually pumpkin puree forward. So you're getting more pumpkin flavor. It's not over the top sweet. But besides the point, that's like actually like a story to me that was like just happened so recently. Obviously the changing of the season, I live in California, so it's not that big of a changing of the season, but it's sunny pretty much year round. But the changing of the season, obviously it's that fall, you want your pumpkin spice latte. The shop I used to work at serves a pretty great one, and I don't see why. We get there, she orders it, no one thinks twice. We continue on just catching up with our friends behind the bar, and that's just how it goes. So that, if anything, that's literally like it happened not too long ago, if that proves it to you guys. But if it's not proving it to you guys because like, oh, they're your friends or whatever, let's go a step further. So if you come in and let's say, like, you know, due to stereotypes, you know, obviously if a guy comes in, pretty big guy, he orders like a mocha or he orders a caramel latte. Honestly, like, again, we don't think twice about it. Now, the things that are going to make us think twice about your order is how you go about ordering it, per se. Like, we will definitely talk about you behind your back if you are okay. And there's two reasons, because there could also be, we're talking about behind your back in a good way, because we really liked you, we want you to come back, we thought we had a very pleasant interaction, something you mentioned about your day we found interesting, and that's just like what we might talk about after you leave, or if you're out of earshot. But of course, downsides, why we might talk about you behind your back is, of course, if you're rude, if you weren't pleasant, you know, that might be something that we might give whoever else is on par, like just a heads up, like this person was kind of more difficult to work with. So the next time they come in, we're not going to be shocked by it. And every shop is different, but for the most part, when we hear like stories from other baristas, like, yeah, obviously horror stories are stories we talk about a lot, just because, yeah, you want to be memorable, then come in and don't be respectful. Don't like, just be a genuine human. Like, trust me, we will remember you. And I think that goes for any line, occupation, wherever you work. If you're dealing with a tough customer is a tough customer, you know, and it's something that you got to overcome. And most times, and more often than not, you're going to see bad reviews when you read about it, because it's just a little bit more interesting to us. I guess we're human and we like to hear about weird, difficult things, but I guess that's just who we are. Give me a sec, coffee break here. But I think it's one of those things where the types of drinks that we really like, that stand out to us, okay? If you come in and order a macchiato, and here's the reason why, because we immediately have to read you as a person, because unfortunately, due to, you know, Starbucks's rendition of a macchiato, specifically a caramel macchiato, that they make it completely different. I don't know. You guys could also hear about how they make a caramel macchiato from an ex-Starbucks employee, Corey, the guy who we just talked to. He was an ex-Starbucks employee, and the way the macchiato works over there is they just flip the order of what you're putting the different liquids in. So instead of having, you know, espresso at the bottom, and that's what normally is the baseline for every single drink, then they put the espresso on the top. So they first put in the steamed milk, what in the caramel drizzle or whatever, and then they put the espresso. And it's because macchiato is Italian and it means marked, and it's because traditionally you're marking the espresso with just a little dollop or a little mark of steamed foam, and just the foam. And it's one of those things that, again, we immediately have to read you. Now, if you come in and you order a caramel macchiato, chances are we are going to make you a caramel latte, because that is the volume. And it's all about kind of like ratios, really. But it's like the volume that you're looking for in regards to a final output drink is going to be, to us, more so a caramel latte. If you were to get the amount of syrup that we put in a caramel latte in a traditional caramel macchiato, it would almost be equivalent to, the amount of syrup is equal to the amount of espresso. So it's literally like a one-to-one ratio. So you would be looking at this small little shot glass of espresso, and it's going to be just filled with just one part espresso and one part the caramel syrup. And that's clearly like not what people who come in who say caramel macchiato are really looking for. I worked for years, and not once did I ever come into any issue when somebody came in and ordered a caramel macchiato, and I finally handed them over a caramel latte at the end of me making it. Did they ever be like, oh, wait a minute, this is way too big to be a caramel macchiato? I've never ran into that issue, because again, unfortunately, due to Starbucks, they're educating people in the wrong way. They created a drink with a name that isn't true to what it traditionally is. Now, if it tastes good and you like it, no one's gonna like throw a fit. No one's trying to like throw you in jail. No. It's more, and this is why a lot of baristas have some bit of a disdain or a negative outlook on, let's say, on a Starbucks. It's just because they have something like a Frappuccino, for example, that for shops like us who don't have blenders, like we can't make you an ice blended beverage is what we call it, because Frappuccino is, of course, like trademarked or copyrighted for sure, you know, by Starbucks themselves. So the people come in and order an ice blended beverage, and there's no way in the world, even if we were trying to provide you the best service possible, like if there's something on the menu, like a lot of people will come in and order peppermint mochas, and we didn't have any like a specific syrup for peppermint mocha at the time. Or for example, let's go into what's another popular one? It's white chocolate mochas. Okay, like I'm gonna do my best to create for you exactly what you want. Like I personally believe, like again, like it, everything when I was a barista revolved it around you, the customer. I want to make sure you come into my shop, you're gonna leave happy. And however we get there, hopefully I can just kind of tell you exactly what I'm doing to get there, so you kind of understand at the end of the day, you're walking out with what you came in wanting. However, when you're walking out those doors, you also like went out those doors kind of knowing exactly what you got isn't what you're gonna get at a Starbucks, for example. Again, just differentiating how we get there and why this is specialty coffee versus a Starbucks coffee, you know? So again, ice blended beverage is one of those things. We didn't even have a blender, and we made sure not to have a blender, so if people came in, they couldn't complain to us. And then instead, we would always offer an iced latte. You know, it's not going to be blended ice, but hey, you're still going to have familiar flavors in there. You're going to have whatever syrup that we provide to you and that we can actually provide to you, as well as your milk, your ice, so it's cold, and some espresso, so you're getting some caffeine. And again, people, I mean, you know, if they were really that upset about it, I'd be like, well, what we can provide to you is the directions to the closest Starbucks, because that's, we're not going to be able to satisfy what you want. And that's okay. Like you can't please everyone, but we're going to do our best. And for example, for the actual white chocolate, okay, obviously white chocolate is its own distinct flavor. However, I kind of got away with, you know, just to make it not just a straight mocha for people, I would do like a little bit of our chocolate, house-made chocolate syrup with a little bit of our vanilla syrup. And, you know, people, like, it's just different enough. And that's what people wanted. They didn't want just a mocha, which would just be straight chocolate syrup. It was just different enough where they left happy. And that's totally good. And that's what, again, I was trying to achieve. Just making sure they left the actual shop with a pleasant and happy experience, really. And again, like, nothing against them. I even went, like, above and beyond, had to do extra steps. And honestly, I didn't think, wow, like these people don't know coffee or whatever, you know, maybe that's just what they wanted that day. It goes back to though the whole idea of a macchiato example that I was trying to say was basically, again, we're trying to read you like just the type of like how much you know about coffee, and again, telltale signs. You come in and order straight macchiato, I hope if it's a specialty coffee shop, you know what you're getting into, which is going to be exactly the traditional macchiato in every way, shape, or form. It's going to be that two shots of espresso with just a little mark of steamed foam for, like, overall, probably just slightly over because of the mark, 2 ounce beverage, 2 ounces. Versus a caramel macchiato, you go over to a Starbucks, is going to be a 12 ounce probably beverage. And that's a huge difference in volume, just quantity that you're going to get at the end of the day, and in taste. So, another coffee break here. So, it's kind of like one of those things where it's totally okay. Come in, order a caramel macchiato. I'm going to do my best to get, like, have you leave the doors happy. So I'm going to make you a caramel latte. But as I punch in your order, I'm going to tell you on the screen you're going to see is going to say caramel latte. The only reason why is because I would ask, do you normally order this drink at, let's say, for example, maybe a Starbucks? And most of the time they're like, yeah, like that's what I like normally order. But obviously, like, I know you guys do things differently, and that's the type of stuff we want to hear. And we're going to be like, yeah. So just so you know, we're going to make you closer to a caramel latte, just because I know that's kind of what you might be looking for, because our macchiato drinks are like just such little liquid. It's like two shots, and we try to do as traditional as possible. So it's just like two shots of espresso with just a little Marca steam foam on top. So like that's, I know that's not what you're going to want. And again, we try to do it as non-condescending as possible. And that's the biggest challenge for us as baristas, is the part of making sure you leave happy while still at the same time trying to educate you in a way where we're like, we're just, you know, helping out a friend, or like, it's more so just seeing if you're genuinely interested in knowing the difference. And that way, if you come back because we provided you good service, you know exactly what to order the next time. And again, it's not going to work for everyone. If you're a barista listening to this, you know for sure. There's some people who don't care, and that's totally fine. And you're going to do your best, and that's all really like anybody could ask of you. But hopefully, for those few people who are actually open to kind of learning more and open to finding out more, you planted a seed in their head that, hey, let me go look up what a macchiato is now, just so I could see like a photo of it. And now they'll be like, wow, that is way different than what I normally order. And that alone can spark that difference in their heads between Starbucks and a specialty coffee. Now, kind of moving on, I would say let's go on the other side of the spectrum here. If you come in and order an espresso, okay, there's a few things that at least went on in my team's head, as well as like other teams. Like, it's one of those things where if you are coming in later in the day, and let's say we normally try to dial in like every once in a while, like just to make sure shots are okay. Anytime you refill the hopper or the hopper gets too low, you're going to try a shot yourself just to make sure everything is dialed in exactly where you want the espresso to be. Plus, if you're dumping in new espresso beans from a different bag of coffee into the hopper, that's going to be a completely different taste. Especially if there's different roast dates. That's just how it works. That's how coffee works. It's organic. It's going to be changing constantly. So we try to do our best of dialing in as much as possible. But when somebody comes in and orders a straight espresso, especially near the end of the day, or let's say like, you haven't dialed in a long time, we're immediately looking at each other. We're asking each other, hey, so when's the last time you dialed in? When's the last time? Have you tried it? Have you tried this espresso? How is the espresso going? Do we need to change anything? This person just ordered espresso. Like, this is the game plan, basically. You're going through different steps. And again, we're gauging customers on how much they care and how much what they're looking for too. So I have people come in for espresso because espresso in their minds isn't something that they're ordering for taste. They're ordering it specifically for a quick shot of caffeine. And it's one of those things where if you're ordering it for a quick shot of caffeine, you honestly could care less what it tastes like, because these guys, like, or gals even, like, yeah, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, they'll knock them back. I've seen kids even knock back espresso shots, and I was, like, shook. Because at that time, I was like, A, the last thing I needed as a child was more caffeine. That is for sure. I bet you my parents and my mom can testify to that. Last thing I needed in my life is caffeine. So when I see, like, kids who come out of school and they're, like, knocking back shots of espresso, I'm very shook. And it's one of those things where, again, we're reading the customer based off of, you know, how they're ordering, what questions they might have asked in addition to the espresso. So you really want to stand out in our heads to make sure like you're going to get the best shot possible. You're going to come in, you're going to say, hey, what espresso do you guys have on today? Or like, what's in your guys's hopper? Or, you know, that's a question. All right, this person like kind of knows like a little bit, or at least has some interest in coffee, and clearly to some degree has ordered like and is used to drinking espresso. So we're going to make sure the shot tastes good. You add on extra questions. Oh, and then talk about the espresso that we have on. Oh, and like what roaster? Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I love their stuff. Or, oh, okay. Well, honestly, like I'm not the biggest fan, but I'm curious to see how you guys dialed in. Like, man, that's going to put some pressure and heat on us because we know, all right, at least this person kind of knows what they're talking about. And whether you're, again, you're ordering a white chocolate mocha that we don't have, or you're ordering an espresso, our end game goal for both customers is the same thing: to make sure you walk out with a pleasant and pleasurable experience, getting what you wanted. Obviously, no one's buying an espresso to buy a bad tasting espresso. So we're trying to make sure you get what you want. Now, adding extra questions, we're putting more pressure. We're going to be focusing on, if you come in and you're like, hey, like, I just want a shot of espresso. Yeah. And then we ask, do you want any sparkling water? No. Okay. Yeah. And then you ask for it to go specifically. Well, not everything's to go because of the pandemic, but in normal times, you ask for it to go. Chances are that person just needs that quick bit of energy. They want a little taste of coffee, for example. And again, we're still going to make sure the shot tastes good, but the amount of steps that we're going to take to get to that shot is going to be far different than if somebody comes in asking a lot of questions. Now, there's a time where we can tell, and this is something too that we talk about, is if you come in and you're pretty relaxed about it, and the way you're asking about espresso and the way you're talking about coffee, we could tell whether or not like you've been in the industry, or you have never been in the industry, but you've just been like kind of looking up stuff on the, like online, and we can tell. Trust me, we can tell. And again, honestly, it's like a fine line between like you totally, because even people in the industry do this sometimes, like, but it's one of those things where we like people being interested in coffee. I love having conversation about coffee. I mean, I created a whole podcast because I love talking about coffee. But there is a fine line between somebody who's over eager to have that conversation with you and talks about coffee when you're literally behind bar, like they know way more than you. And that is something that is okay, but we like that immediately is a red flag, because we'll have people, I'll never forget. And honestly, like I appreciated the above and beyond approach this person took, because it was a Yelp review. Okay. And he was a Yelper, and his whole thing about his Yelp reviews is you would go to each coffee shop with this booklet that you could buy online. I think it's like a coffee journal booklet or whatever. But then you have which shop you are in the journal. It has like the shop, so a place where you could put the shop name, the type of espresso it is, what kind of beans were in there, what blend is it, what a place for tasting notes, and even one of those five-star grids where it has like the different overlying like umbrella notes that then you go to pay, to place a dot based off of where, you know, you thought the taste was, you know, and then a place to score it. And you would take a photo of that and put it on Yelp. Now, again, the person comes in and clearly, okay, this person has a passion for coffee. Now, the problem of that is he came in clearly trying to be more of a critic rather than just somebody who's just, you know, fascinated and interested of coffee. And the only reason why I have some more negative views about this is because I, when I go to other coffee shops, like I literally ran the coffee program for a little over two years. And I'm running a coffee program that's a multi-roaster, meaning we don't roast ourselves. We actually go and partner up with other coffee shops to then have and showcase their coffee in our hoppers as retail and, to serve as like pour overs or drip or cold brew. So we're not roasting ourselves. We're actually kind of it's a bad terminology, but outsourcing out to local shops more often than not. For us, it was local shops, but then, across the nation or even in countries in some cases. It's my job to run that coffee program. I, of course, am going out and talking with other roasters and going out and trying their coffees and going out. And the way I went about it, especially a small multi-roaster, but yet we're still trying to provide some of the best quality beans. I was tasked with the duty of finding a local, as local as we can, roaster, because we really, our mission statement was all about community and the local community and supporting our local communities. So I was the one that basically had to do the research and go out and try different coffee shops. And the way I went about it is I would do it anonymously. I would never tell a shop I was going to go and check them out. And again, I'm not as well as my shop big enough for people to recognize. Once I got a little later on and I met more people within the industry, and then they were like, oh, okay, I know who this kid is now. Okay, I should probably focus up a bit better on regards to our shots and stuff, especially once they found out I was making decisions. But I tried to do it as anonymously as possible, because I wanted to, my whole, in the way I looked at it is, if I'm going to bring a coffee in from a roaster, from a coffee shop, okay, I want to ensure that if one of my customers buys that bag of coffee or has that type of coffee, and then they go out and live their lives and stumble upon that same roaster coffee shop, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's the same coffee that I just had at EOSA, or EOSA showcases them. I want them to have a pleasant and enjoyable experience going into that shop. If they randomly stumble upon it, they're like, oh, I've had their coffee before, and on my Google Maps it says it's right around the corner. And obviously it means you're not close to EOSA, so of course you'd go to EOSA because that's where the best coffee was being served. But no, in no way, shape, or form. But it's just one of those things, you're gonna go and basically, go and try out that coffee shop. And I wanted to make sure that if you go in, the baristas behind that counter are going to treat you with the utmost respect and customer forward experience, with keeping that in mind, just like how we would do it at EOSA. And it was one of those things too, that I wanted to make sure too, not just how they treat you, but the actual, what they serve to you is on par, if not the same, as what we would serve at EOSA. And it's one of those things that, again, I'll do it anonymously, because as soon as money's involved, as soon as they found out I'm making decisions, when I first started doing this whole process, they would try to comp my drink, they wouldn't make me pay, they would immediately start dialing in again, and that's just not what you're going to experience as a customer. I knew that, and I knew I wanted to have as unbiased of a service as possible. And that's what kind of irked me the wrong way about this critic who came in, well, self-proclaimed Yelp critic who came in to our shop, who was doing this, because it was very showy. He came in flaunting the book. He came in saying, hey, I'm going to rate you guys because I heard you guys had good espresso or blah, blah, blah. It's just a show. Now, does that mean this person doesn't know what they're talking about? No. And did I ever get a chance to really sit down and talk with this person? No. The guy gave the espresso and gave EOSA, I think, 4.5 stars. And hey, great. At least he knows semi what he's talking about because he gave us a good review because we worked really hard on making sure he had a good experience. But it's one of those things, just like any customer, really. But it's one of those things, though, that we can tell, though, you know, when you're too showy about something, it's not natural. And when it's not natural, it's kind of like you feel something's off. And you're not going to have the same respect as somebody comes in just genuinely curious and genuinely just wants to enjoy a great espresso and wants just to have a conversation with you. Like, before I left, there was like a father and son team that started coming in. The son had to be like similar to my age, maybe a little bit older, but like somewhere late 20s or whatever. They would come in together and they're like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" Like, just super cool. He was like, "Oh, so like, what do you guys have on like espresso right now? We're super stoked to try it. We've only heard good things about you guys. And, this is my son. We're like, we go to different shops and we were trying you guys around. We finally heard about you guys and we wanted to give you guys a shot." And it was just like, you could tell he's just super excited and just has this great joy that him and his father share too, that just going out and trying different coffee shops for fun. I mean, that is way more exciting for us as baristas, in my opinion, because it's like genuine joy from coffee versus the other one is like you're trying to put this persona on that's not natural. And it's just one of those things that I could tell you're not enjoying it really. It's just too much. And this is coming from someone when I was going to these other shops anonymously. Like, of course, I'm taking mental notes of how they're treating me and all this stuff, but I'm not showing that to the baristas. I'm trying to get, again, like I'm a normal customer. And again, it's one of those things where after when I was done, you know, going to the shop for the first time, I would leave with a mental note, even if I had a bad experience, for example, and I would go back. And it was just ensuring that I get the same treatment, the same experience, the same quality of coffee and from different baristas, because that means like they're either like trained or at least they're being on top of their stuff. It's just like certain notes, mental notes I was taking to make sure the shops had a great baristas behind the bar, have a great training program clearly because they were being on top of it. They're consistent in their shots. The shots were consistently good. Their roasting's on point. That means the baristas are on point. And at least I'd go in at different times of day. That's also ensuring that they're being on top of redialing in and making sure their coffee is dialed. And eventually, once I like was like, hey, this is a shop that I'm really, honestly, want to have a great partnership. And I'm really stoked. I would go up to the baristas and be like, "Hey, by the way, like I'm actually from Aosa Coffee. And I was wondering if like your manager is there, or if I could get a contact for your wholesale manager so we can start wanting to buy and like display and use your beans and have it on our shelves." And it was one of those things that they were like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even know. Like, yeah, definitely, here you go." And it was one of those probably like a sighs of relief that they like, "Oh, we're on top of it." But it's also one of those things where like they did a great job, and I told them, I was like, "Hey, the reason why like I want to partner up with you guys is because you guys really do a great job. We're really excited. I've come multiple times, had a great experience, and I really hope that we can make a partnership happen between us, between our two shops here." And that, like, that's the reason why I would do it as low-key as possible, yet still have some pointed questions about their espresso, how they talk about their espresso. But again, not to diverge too much from what I'm talking about, this critic here is, again, it's one of those things where we can tell based off of how you like order an espresso / what you talk about or what you're asking about. To some degree, we can tell whether or not you know your stuff or you don't. Another person came in, I think I'd mentioned it the other time, was like, "Oh, I only want a coffee that's Arabica. I don't want Robusta." Okay. And he wanted a pour over. And it was one of those things that I immediately could tell something was not quite right, just because he said he wanted Arabica. I was like, yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah, we have Arabica coffee. And he's like, oh, I don't see any Arabica coffee. And again, you know, he just wanted to make sure it wasn't Robusta. So I was like, yeah, that's totally fine. But we had literally like a bourbon varietal up there. We also had, I think, in, gosh, I want to make sure I get this right. I think it was a bourbon over from Coffee and Tea Collective, as well as like a Typica. It was just one of those ones where I just knew something was off because we clearly had varietals that are Arabica, and he wasn't seeing that these are just varietals that come from Arabica coffee. And I just couldn't understand, well, not couldn't understand, but it was clearly a red flag to me that this person didn't quite understand, like, coffee, for example, but yet still had that, like, air to them that he knew what he was talking about, and he was upset that we didn't have any Arabica, even though those varietals up there were Arabica. We don't just put Arabica anymore just because it's too broad of a terminology. There's different varietals of Arabica, the plant, that we use. And again, those are things that you didn't just do a little bit more research on online that made you come off being a little bit more, you know, standoffish, that as a barista, we're not going to enjoy. Again, if you're in the industry, you're going to pick up on things. And that was like, I quickly picked up on that. I clearly knew that, you know, even if I were to tell him, like, hey, these are all Arabica varietals, that's not how I wanted to go about educating this person, because, you know, it was one of those ones where they came in guns a-blazing, and I knew for a fact, like, no matter how many times I tried to explain it to him, I think he would just kind of come off from a bad experience. So I was hoping, I was like, oh yeah, this is actually right here is an Arabica one, even though they all were. But based off of how he's talking, I picked a coffee that I think he would enjoy. And I made a pour over for him. He said he liked it and he went about his day. And I was hoping he would come back and we can reopen that conversation if he had more time. He had to get it to go. I know, to go pour over, which means he has some bit of time, but I also wanted him to go because it was just so standoffish. He was like, I can't believe you guys don't have any Arabica. I was like, oh man, yep, I think I need some coffee now. Reliving that moment, I need some more coffee, I need to take another sip. Anywho, it was, and if you haven't gotten like a theme from this yet, I'm hoping that what you take away from this is your tonality, how you're talking to us, how you're treating us. Like, we focus more on that because I'm sure everything's a two-way stream. You're doing the same exact thing as a customer. And again, when I go out and I'm looking for and making different partnerships, I do the exact same thing. So it's looking at how body language, how you're just, you know, presenting yourself to us. We're going to be focusing more on that than what you order. So again, grand scheme of things, what you're ordering doesn't make too big of a difference. It's about how you go about ordering it. And I have people, again, who will order like hot chocolates or like, again, mochas. And I honestly don't think twice about it just because, like, they were just nice. I will think about more about them being nice than, oh my gosh, I can't believe they ordered a mocha. You know, it's just, it doesn't go through my head. I care way more about the person. And for baristas who are out there, you know, chances are they're probably a lot newer within the industry if they're like really judging what you're ordering, because that means they clearly haven't gone through the hundreds of customers before that one customer comes in and orders a mocha who they would never perceive to order a mocha. And that's why they're behaving that way, I would say. And again, I'm not trying to call them out, but it's just one of those things. It's like, I'm sure like doctors and you know, different occupations, when you go see, like, you're in an industry that you see thousands of different people, you know, throughout your career, maybe hundreds of thousands, you know, depending on how long you're in the industry, and you're not going to really remember one guy or one gal who, you know, orders a mocha and it's so baffling to you that they actually ordered a mocha, like, you know, it's or a caramel latte or pumpkin spice latte or orders a tea. Like, it doesn't say enough about you. It's how you talk to us and how you go about your day and how we, our actual interaction is going to say a lot more, and we're going to talk about that a lot more than what you order. So again, hopefully that doesn't put too much pressure. Now you're not too intimidated. Oh, I better be like over the top kind to people. Again, just be yourselves, and hopefully yourself is a kind, genuine human being. And we totally get it too. If you're having a bad day, again, we're going to try to make your day better, but we hear you. If you're having a bad day, man, just, or it's just one of those things. Everyone has it. Trust me. I've had bad days too. So we're all trying to get through this together. It's about just being as pleasant as you can. And we can tell too, when you're having a bad day, that sometimes you either want to have just an uplifting conversation or something short and sweet, or it's one of those things where it's like, hey, just give me my coffee and let me get on with this bad day. So for tomorrow, tomorrow will be a better day. So I hope you guys really enjoyed this. I do plan on, it's kind of hard to get some interviews with the mic, of course, because of COVID reasons. We're dealing with some scheduling, but currently we're having and recording some future episodes with guests. It's just one of those things that I'm also spreading out upload dates, so you guys have something to look forward to. It's, you guys aren't getting bombarded with episode after episode, so again, just bear with me. It's just kind of weird with the whole COVID right now. But again, we are planning to have some real fantastic guests. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you guys have any suggestions on what you guys want to hear or what you want to, like, honestly, for us to talk about, or any questions, please, again, go on The Occasional Barista on Instagram. You can contact us there. You can also contact theoccasionalbarista@gmail.com. When we can answer any inquiries. Until then, have a great rest of your day and stay safe out there.